Singing these songs, and some folks get maybe the parents get a little nervous about them getting up and singing. If as long as they're singing for the Lord, it'll be all right. Don't you worry about that. And we ask that you continue to remember the rest of the service. Steve, you got anything on your heart tonight? Y'all haven't heard Steve since he's been ordained, have you? Has anybody heard him since he's been ordained? Yeah, and it's. Ordination is overrated. If God's called them, all that is man putting their seal of approval on it. It's a lot of pressure on a man that's been called to preach, and we want him just to obey his heart and whatever God lays upon it that he can preach. And I don't know what's going on in the foyer, but let's just try to put that behind us and just try to worship the Lord for a few minutes tonight as Brother Steve comes to preach for us. And I know Willardine and Jim are awfully proud. I know Steve and Vaughn are, but I know Jim and Willardine are awfully proud of he's getting up here singing. And some things you could never hope for because you see it almost impossible. But God can make it a reality if we keep holding to his hand. So, Steve, you come and obey the Lord tonight. Y'all pray for him as he comes.
It's good to be in God's house tonight. I'm sure people, you've been in services before. Maybe it's a revival service. Maybe it's just a regular service during the week. But, you know, if you're a singer, you get a visiting singing group to come and sing, and you just get fired up, you just get inspired, and when it comes time for church service, you know, you just can't wait to get back to church to sing. And you know, the prayers, you know, you get one of those services where you can just feel the Spirit of God, and you have just one of those great altars of prayer, and you just know and when you get back on Sunday night, get back to pray again, it, you know, Lord's just going to be there. You just expect good things to happen. And you know, we had the Brush Arbor service over the last few days, and I couldn't even tell you how many preachers preached over the 4 days. I know one night, I think five different preachers preached, and another one, maybe one or two. But it just got to the point where, you know, I was sitting there each night enjoying the service, enjoying the Word of God, and just kind of asking, Lord, you know, when's it going to be my turn? You know, he didn't lay it on my heart to preach during any of those Brush Arbor services, but I was just on the edge of my seat, just couldn't wait for God to use me. It's just one of those, it just got me fired up seeing you know, people depending on the Lord and God using the preachers the way that he did. It just got you fired up, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the Word of God does that. The Bible school that's coming up here, you bring a few churches together there, and you see their young people get together. You know, that's going to grow from that. They're going to want to come and have service with you, and you're going to want to go and have service with them, and it's going to bring excitement in that, and you get excited for the things of God, and that's the way it's supposed to work. And we as God's people, we're supposed to get excited when God does good things in our lives. Go out and talk to people about it. Tell people about it. And it just grows from that, and you have a desire in that. And I'm not saying I got a big message or nothing. I don't have anything planned or nothing. Just got some scripture on my heart and don't really know what God's going to do with it. But I'm excited to be in the house of God, looking forward each and every time I go. I come here tonight, you know, knowing Roger did not expect me to be here tonight, knowing if God laid a message on his heart, I was going to hear something good tonight, because God's just been so good to us lately. He's just given us everything we've needed each and every night, giving the church something to hear and to take home with them and to grow from, giving the lost opportunity every night to seek the Lord for salvation. And you know, and it was one of those revivals where at the end of it, nobody got saved, and you just walked away each night going, boy, I tell you what, I feel sorry for them. I just don't know what more can be said. Yeah, I'm thankful. I mean, I don't remember exactly the night I got saved. I don't know if it was during the altar call or if it was during the message. I don't know. I know I remember Joe Hall preaching. I remember that he was up there preaching. And the next thing I know, I was saved. It just happened that fast. And I'm in these services and the altar call goes out. The songs are being sung. And you just feel the church praying. And you just know that the Spirit is drawing and they're holding on to something. You know, what are they holding on to? I guess that's kind of, where I got my thought, tonight. And I don't know if anybody here tonight, lost and undone without God. I don't know if this is maybe for the church, for those of us that are God's children. I don't know exactly what we're going to get out of this tonight, but I'm going to read some scripture and just follow the Spirit of God tonight. That's all I know to do. Like Roger said, the ordination service, that's just, a formality in that, but I didn't get any better the day after. I'm not going to get any better just because of that piece of paper. But tonight, if we just focus our heart and our mind on the things of God, let God use us tonight and just grow from the message tonight, if we will. And I'm in the fourth chapter of Mark. And going to read, the 14th verse now down through, the 20th verse maybe. And it's a very common scripture. It's the parable of the sower of the seed. And it's not in any way any kind of a secret or nothing like that. It's not a scripture that none of us have never heard of before. But for some reason, God's laid that on my heart tonight. So if you get to St. Mark chapter 4 and verse 15, if you want to stand for the reading of God's Word, we're just going to go through those six verses there. It says, "The sower soweth the Word, and these are they by the wayside where the Word was sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the Word that was sown in their hearts. And these are likewise which were sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And that's all maybe I'll read there in that part there. But this morning the preacher came by, and he used Romans 10, 9 through 12, and that preached a little bit on those that will hear the word, and how can the word be heard lest it be sent by the preacher, about those that want to just claim God, those that want to certainly be labeled a child of God, but they've never actually come to know the Lord in a free pardon of sin. And I got to thinking about that. Now, we read this parable and that, and I'm sure we've heard it preached a hundred times over and that, how the word goes out to the lost in that, and how it sets up in their heart. And it gives a few examples there of how the word might come by, and it might become fruitful, and some it might not become fruitful. But let's just apply it to our own lives here tonight. And I got to thinking about some Bible scripture there, and some men here in the Bible that this might apply to. And I thought about the first one there, how as the seed went down onto the stony ground, and you read there in the beginning of the chapter, and it talks about it again. It says that the stuff, it fell upon the stones and that, and certainly the Word of God, it'll fall. And there's a scripture there where you will fall upon the rock and that and be broken. But the seed fell on the stone there. And it says the sun came out and burned it up and that. It didn't have a chance to grow in that. And I just kind of thought about Thomas there, the disciple there. We call him the doubting Thomas and that. He was glad and he was full of joy in that when he was with the Lord. But when the Lord was crucified in that, and he was risen, he said, I won't believe it until I can thrust my hand into his side and see the scars on his hands in that. Just a little bit of trouble came his way, and immediately he had given up on the things of God. They told him, And he had been telling them, he had been prophesied to them that he was going to rise again in 3 days. He called it a temple, said he would build the temple back up. He should have been looking forward to the risen Savior in that. But just a little bit of adversity comes by, and he starts to doubt, and he wouldn't believe the report in that. You read there in Romans 10, it goes on there and it says, who hath believed our report? The people of God, the men of God, they had told him he's a risen Savior, but he wasn't going to take their word for it. Sometimes that's the way we are in the house of God, and I fear sometimes that might be the way it is when we get up and we hear the preacher preach. There's people in the church house sometimes they take the word of God and they say, well, he knows my situation, he knows my life, he's just talking of himself now. That's not the word of God. But let me tell you something. It's been entrusted to the preachers to preach the word of God. And if the man standing behind the pulpit is truly called to preach the gospel, and that whatever the word of God is, you've got to accept it. You know, that's exactly what was happening here. Thomas was, I'm sure he was just destroyed. His Lord and Savior was gone. And they came by and said, he's a risen Savior. He wouldn't take their word for it. Wasn't going to believe the man of God. Had to see it for himself. Where there's some people that hear the word of God, and the preacher might give a message in that and point out some things in our lives that we need to own up to, or that we need to get right in our lives. And we think, well, who is he to be telling me about that? He's got no business meddling in those things. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what his job is. His job. We heard a great message about the Word of God being a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. That's all he's trying to do for us through the Word of God. He's trying to show us our shortcomings, trying to show us where we come and fall short of the glory of God. And he gives us the altar that we might come to him, that we might get a closer walk with him, a place where we can bring and lay our cares and lay our troubles. We can come and we can repent and get back where we need to with God. That's the way it is. If you're sitting there in the crowd, it doesn't matter if it's tonight. It doesn't matter if it was this morning. It doesn't matter if it'll ever happen to you. If you're in the house of God and the preacher's preaching and bringing the word of God, and you start to think he's getting a little personal, that's between you and God. That's between you and the word of God. It's not between you and the preacher. I don't know what's going on in your lives. Maybe that's sometimes it's good. You've got a preacher coming from Lima. He doesn't know your life. He doesn't know your day-to-day walks. He doesn't know what's going on in your life. But the Word of God will find you out. It'll point out your faults. It'll point out your weaknesses. But He never leaves us in that state. He never just tears us down. He gives us an opportunity to come to Him to an altar, and we can cry out to Him, and He can put us back up on the rock and set us on that straight path, and He can put the light back in front of us that we might walk with him. That's how you take the word of God that's normally preached to the lost, and you apply it to your lives. The Bible is spiritually written and spiritually discerned. This is for God's people. The lost aren't going to be able to read the Word of God and get that from that Scripture. They're not going to be able to get that the Word of God was preached to them and that they turned it away. That's not what they're going to get when they read the Word of God. They have to hear the preacher. That's what Romans 10:10 says. They have to hear the preacher. That's what it's about. I thought about the second one there. It says that was the one that went into the thorny ground. It was planted, and maybe it hit the dirt. Maybe it got to the soil and got a little roots. But the thorns started to come around and started to choke it out. And I thought about Peter and how that he was surely one that God loved. And he loved the Lord Jesus Christ in that. But when it came time and he was being crucified, and they said, hey, over there's one of them. He was following. He started to deny the Lord. And it was even told to him that he was going to deny the Lord. But when trouble came, he started to get a little faint-hearted. I didn't give up on the Lord, but he sure didn't give up on himself. He didn't think that he had it in him anymore. I didn't know for sure if he wanted to be one that followed after the Lord. That was the thorns that around him. That was the people that were around him. They were trying to choke that out of him. They didn't want any more disciples. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they thought, and surely Paul, when he was still called Saul, that's what he was doing. He thought for sure, once we get rid of this man named Jesus, if we can get rid of all those that followed after him, we'll get rid of this thing once and for all. But I tell you what, that's not the way. That's not the plan of God. The plan of God is that we become the third seed, the one planted down there on the good ground. We need to get the thorns out of the way. We need to get the rocks out of the way. You, those of you who grew up down in Kentucky, I'm sure you spent many a time, maybe in your childhood. I know there was a time, even in my childhood, I did this. I'd be sent out into the field just to pick up the big rocks and get them out of the way, and that so that when the planter came through, all the seed fell in the good ground. It's good for a little kid to do that. We've got all kinds of energy. We can run out there and grab the rocks and chuck them out off to the side, and that that's not something I guess adults look forward to, but that's our job. And as a Christian, that's our job, us to go out into our field. It's our job to plow the fields, to plow with the Word of God. We go out into our field from time to time and find the rocks that the Word might fall on and cast them out of the way. We got to look for the thorns and we got to cast them out of the way so that that Word of God might fall down in the good ground, that it can be accepted, that it can grow down on the inside, that we might leave this service tonight and saying that it's been good to be in the house of God, looking forward to that Wednesday night service. Let me tell you something. You go to that Wednesday night service, there's an opportunity there for someone that's lost to be saved. It's time not to prepare on Wednesday, but tonight's the time to prepare for that service. We need to be focused on that so that when we go to that place, that the ground's already been tilled. They've heard the Word of God. The preparation's already been made. The seed maybe have already been planted. We need to make sure that in our field, that in our life, that we're ready and able that when we go on a Wednesday night, if we're visiting somebody in their house, there's a need there. They need God. They're not able. The only reason we do that is because they can't get to the house of God. It's our job to take the Spirit of God with them, out to them in that, and He's going to go through and by us. But if there's rocks and thorns still in the way, if we have still let the Word of God be choked down in us, or it's burning up in that just by the smallest things that come along in life, we're not going to do any good in that service. We might as well just stay home because we're just going to be a hindrance in that. But when the Word of God comes, we need to accept it in that for what it is. I tell you what, reading back there at the end of 1 Samuel in that, and this is the end of Saul's life. I didn't know I was going to go here. Just bear with me, church. He got to a point there where he had let the thorns and the rocks well up in his life in that. He had gotten to the point where he wanted to kill David. The Word of God says, you've passed from death unto life when you love the brethren. Well, he wanted to take David's life. He tried on many occasions just to go ahead and kill David and that. But it got to the point there where he was asleep one night there in the trench and that. And he had his sword with him stuck in the ground. And he had his cruse of water there. And David went in by night with just one other little fellow with him. They went into that encampment and they stood right over Saul. And the man said, why don't we just go ahead and take his life? But David said, I'm not going to kill the anointed of God. And he said, well, go ahead and take his cruse and his spear. David said, well, we'll do that. And they went there up to a hillside there in the morning light. And you talk about the preachers getting loud from time to time. Can you imagine? There's David. He hollers out loud enough to wake up the whole encampment. He said, wake up! I've come into your camp and I've taken your king's spear, and I've got his cruse of water. And they knew immediately that he could have taken his life, but he didn't do that. Let me tell you, church, that was their wake-up call. That's what they needed. That spear represented his power. That spear represented his defense. It represented his protection. Sometimes God comes by and he takes those things away from us and lets them know that he is our protection. He is our battle armor. He's the Word of God. It's not in us. It's through and by the Word of God. Took the water away from him. Can you imagine if your throne, if the water that comes from the throne of God were cut off, where would we be? God's the one that supplies the water. And the man of God, the chosen king, he was standing there just like the Lord Jesus Christ stood in our life one day and said, I've taken away all of your excuses. I've taken away all of your defenses. What are you going to do about it? I will read about it. What did Saul do about it? He repented of his sins and he realized that he wronged David and he wanted to get back in the good graces with David. David didn't have to take his life. He made amends. He repented of his sins. That's what each and every one of us have to do. And I think a lot of us get to a point where we think, well, I'm saved. I've already repented. I'm done with that. Oh, I tell you what. Saul was a chosen man of God. And not because it was necessarily in God's plan, but mankind wanted a king. So God entreated them to have a king. So he was anointed. He was the one that was supposed to lead them. And you see by his many faults and failures, he had to repent of God. Each and every one of us have to repent. If it has to be daily, it has to be daily. If it has to be weekly, it has to be weekly. But there has to be an opportunity to repent. There has to be. You go into these services, and I tell you what, I don't know how it's been here. Dad's saying, you know, each and every Sunday, boy, it sure was a good service. We sure did have a good time in the Lord this morning. Boy, we sure had a good time in the Lord this evening. So I know that the Word of God's being preached because I know that's what He enjoys, is hearing the Word of God out there at Trinity, getting ready for this revival. I tell you what, the church got preached on probably for a month solid, and the funniest things would happen. And I say funny by, I mean amazing, I guess it is. On a Wednesday night, I stood up and I gave the church a message about not being so hard-hearted or not being so lazy that we don't care enough to come from the back of the church to the front to find an altar. And then on Sunday morning, a preacher that wasn't there on Wednesday night stood up and said the same thing. That's God trying to get a hold of His people in that. And Dad was there on Friday night and Saturday. And on Friday night, the preacher preached the Word of God. The preacher on Saturday from Kentucky wasn't there Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. Stood up and preached the exact same thing, word for word. That's what God does for us. There's been times where I've stood and preached the Word of God, or other preachers have stood and preached the Word of God, and that's exactly where my marker's at. That's exactly what I had on my heart. And they've said, if he hadn't have preached it, I was going to. Or if he hadn't have preached it, this one over here was going to. The Word of God is going to be preached. It doesn't matter who the mouthpiece is, but you better pay attention to it. It didn't matter. You know, I oftentimes think of that. You think about David, and he was the least of all of the sons, and we know that story very well. But it wouldn't have mattered if God had chosen the eldest son, one of them in the middle, or if he had chosen the least. That would have been the one that had to do the work of God. And each and every one of us here tonight, I don't think there's anybody in this church that thinks they're any better than anybody else. We all came the same knee route, broken-hearted way, and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. So who are we to think tonight that we're blameless? Who are we to think that we don't need to repent? We're all guilty. This morning it was mentioned over and over and over again. There were none righteous, no, not one. And I tell you what, it's humbling to read in the Word of God where even Jesus Christ Himself said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but the Father. And I tell you what, we claim a lot in Jesus Christ, and we depend on Jesus Christ for a whole lot, and even He wouldn't give Himself any credit. So who are we tonight? You know, we need to make sure that when the Word of God goes out, that it goes into the good ground. I tell you what, you have a problem with the preacher, whoever it might be, whenever he might come, whatever he might preach, if you got a problem with it, it's between you and God. I tell you what, if a preacher stands up and talks and says something, I won't even say preaches, he talks about something that's out of line, these deacons will get up and take care of it. The pastor will get up and preach and straighten it out. That's what's supposed to happen in the Word of God. But I tell you what, if the preacher preaches and the deacons keep their seat and the pastor's got nothing to add, it's between you and God. Amen. That's all there is to it. That's all I had on my heart tonight.
It's God's Word. It's His message. And we have to move up to what thus saith the Word of God. Robin, Sharon, get us a song if you would at this time. And this has been some good preaching by Brother Steve. I appreciate people that tell the truth, preach the truth, and tell us that we need to move up. And we do. There's never a place for us to say, I don't need to move up any closer. As long as we're on this side of the river, there's a place for all of us to get closer to God, to ask for His will in our life, and try not to take anything that the Lord has blessed us with for granted. And we're probably all guilty. That we're almost like kids. We expect that it's always going to be this way. And we have to come to a realization God owes us nothing. But folks, we certainly need Him. We certainly need Him. And the world needs us to try to proclaim His Word, that they might see the reality in knowing Him, and not just the world, but even us as Christians. We need His Word because it's what feeds us. It's what sustains us. And if you could be up here singing or preaching and you see how people are getting fed. You know, when people come to the house, I always enjoy people having a good time. People enjoying the food. People enjoying the company. And you can almost sit back and just watch the people. And oftentimes, I'll be the last one to eat because I just enjoy watching everybody else having a good time. I paint that picture to say if you was up here and you see people that are being fed from God's table, it's a marvelous sight, ain't it? Singers, ain't it, preacher? It's a marvelous sight to see that. And today, if you haven't been fed, it's not God's fault. You can't blame God. You left your plate at home. You turned your cup upside down. It's our fault. Because when everybody else is getting fed and we're not getting fed, then it's a question as what's wrong between us and God. Tonight I want to ask you why they sing a verse of a song. Just one verse, Rob, if you would. In chorus, Steve's preaching the truth. We need to get the rocks out of our fields. We need to get the thorns and the thistles out of there, so that our crops could bring forth bountiful. Some of you know what Steve's talking about. When Steve was preaching, I thought, he's been to my garden. I'm talking about a natural garden because it's got all kinds of rocks in it. But then my thoughts went to that's where our spiritual garden gets. If we're not careful, the devil will come in and try to choke out. Is that not what that scripture said? The devil will try to choke out that which the Lord has planted in our lives. Would you stand tonight and say, sing a verse of a song. You follow your heart. If you need to come, let this be the hour. Let this be the time that you come to get your field prepared so that God can bless the increase in your life. Yes. Come unto me, he said, and I will give you rest. Yes. Hear me and be blessed. That's all that he asks us to do. Yes. Come and trust my might. Amen and amen. I hope you've enjoyed being into the house of the Lord tonight. And you know, and I don't say this to be comical by no means, but sometimes I see rocks in other people's fields and I just want to stop and go pick them out. But I can't pick out the rocks in your field. It takes you. It takes me doing my own field. And I tell you that because Becky can attest to this, that there's been times we'll be walking along. We go out for a walk sometimes. And in my neighbor's yard, I'll see a dandelion. And I'll reach over and I'll pull it out. You know why I do that? Because if I leave it there long enough, it'll be in my yard. You say, well, what's that got to do with the message tonight? If we're not careful, we'll let the thorns and briars the rocks from our friends and family's field get into our field. We have to be alert. Great message, Brother Steve. I appreciate it this evening. Haven't you enjoyed it tonight, church? And let's continue to pray for him. I'm proud of him. And the Lord has brought him along. And he's growing in the Lord. And I appreciate that this evening. Remember each other. Remember, we got a busy week. Each night, something going on. Let's remember each other. Pray that God will strengthen our brothers and our sisters. And tomorrow night, it's at 6 o'clock up at Olive Branch. So remember that. And come out and be there with the Vacation Bible School. And remember, Wednesday night's at Villas, and Friday night is the big event, if I could use that word, for the Vacation Bible School up at Olive Branch, and having a cookout. And you're supposed to bring some cookies, okay? And bring some good ones, will you? Because we like cookies, don't we, Steve? Yeah. So bring some good cookies out with you. God bless you. Have a great week. Enjoy what the Lord has given to you, and we will see you this week, if it be the Lord's will.